Good evening. How are you all doing tonight? Tuesday night of scheduled revival services. I trust and pray that it won't be one more night of revival.
That's right.
Just of the scheduled revival services.
That's right.
Revival's got to continue in our hearts, doesn't it? Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. Hold that there if you would. Everybody's turning. You got your Bibles or you got your phones or you got your iPads or you're finding that passage of Scripture. However it, whatever version you're looking at. Had a great time today sharing with some of your leaders of your church and District Superintendent Brad Preston and retired General Superintendent Bill, what's his last name again?
Vermillion.
Vermillion, Bill Vermillion, and Jake, and I want you to tell him I said it like that, okay? We had a great time sharing, and it's always amazing how when preachers get together like that, there will be food. It's just a written thing that it's got to be that there, it is that way. So I had a wonderful time sharing around the table today, and felt like it, not only that, but we got a witness just a little bit to the couple of the ladies that were there, and one of the managers that came by. She sat and talked with us, and it's kind of a neat thing to see how God opens doors and lets people share. And every opportunity we get, the Lord just. Sometimes he just amazes me at how, out of the blue, he'll give me an opportunity to share or witness or say a word of kindness to someone, invoke the name of Jesus in some way that plants a seed in their hearts and their lives. And I trust and pray that you're on the doorstep looking for opportunity to do that. You will not find it if you don't look. It won't happen. I am a hunter. At least I have in the past done a lot of hunting in the last couple, 3 or 4 years, I've gone to allowing some young people to sit with me in my stand and kind of teach them the how to hunt and how to, you know, the intricacies of deer hunting and sitting and waiting in the cold and finding amusement, trying to figure out how to pass the moments. When you're ADD like I am, that's not always the easiest thing to accomplish. And I thank the Lord for cell phones and internet because it occupies my mind. I can actually stay in the deer stand a little longer. A few years back, I was asked by my buddies to go turkey hunting. And I was told, you know, get some gear. We'll try to gear you up. They didn't know if I'd like it all that well, so they didn't want me to go out buying a whole bunch of stuff. So they prepared me I went and bought a couple things, bought a face mask, and bought a couple calls, and I said, well, I'll do it. And I found that you know, it's not too cold in the spring. It's kind of nice to be out there in the weather, but you have to get up really early, really, really early. And that's the only thing bad about it that I figured out, that you got to get up really early. And so I went with my buddies, and we had a couple setups that just for one reason or another didn't work, and we had a couple of them gobbling on the stand, sat up under them, and they went a different direction. And I was trying to learn how to do this, and for about 2 weeks of season, I hunted really hard. I mean, hunted really hard. I actually lost weight. Cutting and running, those of you turkey hunters, that means you talk like a turkey, and you listen. If you hear something, gobble back at you, you kind of move, and if you don't hear anything, you kind of keep moving in the woods until you hear a turkey gobble. For those of you who know, I'm sure you're much better at it than I am. But I had hunted really hard, and I was getting really tired, and I was desperate. I said, anything that walks out with a beard, any kind of beard at all, I'm going to shoot it. Doesn't have to be a long beard, Tom. It could be a little Jake. Jake's a one-year-old bird. He's got a little bitty beard like that. Generally speaking, they're fairly stupid. And that's the kind I you know, it's okay. I'll take any advantage I can get. So after we had hunted one morning for a long time and finally had given up the hopes of killing a bird that day and getting really close to the end of the season, almost the last day for me to hunt, and the three of us that were hunting, one guy had been by himself and the other buddy of mine was helping me, we met at the truck, and we were standing there kind of peeling off some gear, and it warmed up a little bit, and unloading our shotguns. And while we were standing there looking across this field, I saw five, I could hardly see them. I didn't know what they were when they stepped out of there. I thought they might be crows over there. But my buddy, for some reason, he sees every bit of movement, all the stuff. He's just zoned in on it. And he sees five Jakes, one right after another. And he knew they were Jakes because he had seen them many times do this routine at about this time. And he said, "Now, sit here. Just stop right here where you're at. We're going to watch them for a little bit." And my other buddy that was there, he was not as good a turkey hunter. He watched him, and these Jakes started going away from us down the fence row. And he said, "Oh man, you need to find a way to get down there and cut them off." And my buddy said, "Just sit right here." He said, "In a few minutes, if they do what I've watched them do," he said, "they're going to turn around, they're going to peck around out there in the field for a little bit, then they're going to turn around and they're going to walk right down the field toward the wood line, right down that fence row, all the way down to that corner right down there," which was probably, I don't know, 300 yards. It was a big field. And he said, "When they turn, I want you to be ready to go." So I load my shotgun up and put on safety, throw it over my thing, put my face net on, and I get in sneak mode. That's not easy. Thank you. It is not easy for a guy my size to be in sneak mode. Okay? And so, sure enough, just like he said, all of a sudden they kind of lined up in a row and started walking down the fence row. And I know I've got a limited amount of time to get all the way across probably an 80-acre field. There's a little hill, a little rise in the middle of the field where the corner of this jutted out wood line jutted out onto a corner like this, and the rest of it was field. And I thought, "I'm going to get to that corner. I'm going to set up right in that corner, and I'm going to ambush those dudes." So that was the plan. So I grab my stuff and I take off down this way and then across that little swale, and I'm getting as low as I can. And because I've been turkey hunting for 2 weeks, I've actually got some wind in my lungs. And so I remember thinking that about halfway across the field. "You know, when you get over there, you're going to be sucking air so bad, they're going to hear you breathing, wheezing on the other side." I don't think that's a natural sound in the woods. And so I got all the way across the field, and I walked into the woods edge, and I'm looking for a place to sit, and I have to be very quick about it. I know they're not there yet, so I go right up in the corner, and I set my gun down. I sit down, lean back against a tree that's there, grab all my gear and set it out and put a slate call right in front of me there, and I'm set up, and then I look up, and I can't see anything but brush in front of me. So I quickly peruse the area and realize that I need to move over about 6 feet or 8 feet so that I got a view of the corner where they're going to come. So I just kind of crawl over there, realize I forgot my call, had to stretch back. I mean, it's everything that's going wrong, could go wrong, went wrong. Grab my call, pull it up to me, grab my gun, put it up on my knee, and take a deep breath, look up, and there they are, about 50 yards away, standing there. And now what do I do? So I thought, I very, very, very carefully, they hadn't seen me yet, I could tell that they weren't alerted or anything, I very carefully pulled my call up onto my leg, and I gave it a quick scratch with the striker, some of you all who haven't turkey hunted before, you think that you do that kind of call. That's not what you want to do, because that would scare the living daylights out of them. The call that you want to do sounds something like pick, 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 pick. I'm not very good at that with my mouth, but I can make it happen on a... All I got out was about a pick, pick. Now, that didn't do anything for any of you, did it? That did nothing for any of you. If it did, you're weird. You're just plain weird, okay? But in turkey voice, what that is, that's saying, "Come on, big boy, I want you." That's a young lady hen saying, "Come over here, baby, I want you."
Amen.
There we go. You've been there, you've done it. and I watch as I go, pick, pick, come over here, big boy. Pick. Head goes straight up, all of them. And the biggest one of them just looks right at me and starts walking. Doom, 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 doom. He comes over, gets about 20 yards away from me, stops, and he's looking for what was calling to him. Big boy, come over here. He's looking for a hen. So I eye him up, and I blow his head off. Sorry if we have any animal rights people. I'm really, no, I'm not. Food, meat, all good. I shot him, down he goes, flopping. I jump up, go, I hear my buddies up there, they're watching the whole thing, and they're cheering up there, and I got my bird now. Now, the spiritual application of it is do I look like a 15, 17, 18, 19 pound hen turkey? Do I resemble that in any possible way? I lied to that big boy. And he believed the lie. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And in this case, it cost him his life. And that's exactly what happens when you and I exchange the truth of God for a lie and listen to an enemy who says, come over here, I've got something you want. And the betrayal happens, and death is its result. Father in heaven, I pray tonight that you would help us as we seek your truth. I pray, God, tonight that you would help us to be so honest that it might even scare some of us how honest we're being. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would search our hearts and that you would identify any area of our lives where we've exchanged the truth of God for a lie of the enemy. And I pray that you would help us to obediently follow your desire tonight to give up the lie. And in your name I pray. Amen. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 says, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Christ came. The law locked everybody up. It was just a tool to get us through to the point where God could send His Son to set us free. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Listen to that. Did you hear me? So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God. Thank you. Thank you so much. Somebody ought to get excited about that. You're a child of God. You have a birthright that's been changed. I am blood relative to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God who created the universe. He is my Father. And I am His child. See, one of the first lies that the enemy tries to pull us back to is that somehow we don't have any value in the kingdom of God because of our history. How many of you get, I tell everybody, the wars that I fight are not, they're different kind of wars. The worst of the wars that I fight spiritually go on right here between these two ears. The battle zone right here between these two ears. And the lies of the enemy trying to pull me back to my history or trying to remind me of the things that I did that I wish I hadn't done or the hooks that sin put in my life. I like the guy who made the description that sin is like your life, your heart is like a post and sin is like a nail and it's driven into the post. And God's blood and His Word comes and He changes us and He pulls the nail out. The difference with us is that the impression, the nail is gone, the sin is gone, but the impression is left. And physically, I cannot remedy myself of the impression. I can discipline myself to no longer go to the sin through the power of the Holy Spirit, but the impression is there. And sometimes the devil tries to pull me back by that impression that's been made in my history. I am blatantly honest when I preach. I was a young man exposed to pornography when I was 9 years old. 9 years old. And this is, and I've trained myself to not go there, but I can remember those images like it was yesterday. The devil burned things into my brain, impressions that sin makes, and the hooks that sin pull. And the devil will try to grab a hold of one of those and pull me back with that. But the truth is, I am a child of God and I have been set free and I am no longer under my history. He says that the blood of Jesus Christ comes to our heart and forgiveness comes to us and He removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Love that passage of Scripture. Love the Psalm. And that the reality of that statement means east and west. If He said, as far as the north is from the south, it wouldn't have meant the same. Because I can take off from here and I can go north. And I will come to a line north where I will then begin to go south. And then I can walk all the way around to the South Pole and then there'll be a point where I start walking north again. But I can take off from here and I can go west and I'll just keep walking west. And I'll keep walking west and I'll keep walking west and it'll just keep walking west. Now I'll be east of where I was, but I'll still be walking west. Some of you are going, what? It's okay. You don't need to understand. Just understand that it means infinity. I've removed it so far from you that I will never remember it again. Now that is wonderful news tonight. In so many ways. Because the reality is when I come to Jesus and I kneel, God puts something on my heart and brings something up to me that I need to confess to Him. I bring it to Him. I've kept track of the records. And I kneel and I say, Lord, this is the 74th time I've been here for this, but I'm sorry tonight. I don't know about 74, but we're good at keeping track. And you know what I've found? Other church members are even better at keeping track of my stuff. What's the Bible say? Inasmuch as you forgive, you will be forgiven. So, if I keep track, then that would allow Christ, on the other hand, to keep track. If I withhold forgiveness, then it opens the door for God to withhold forgiveness from me. That's what it says. You're a literalist, and I am too. So when I come to Him, thank God. He says to me, far as the east is from the west, while you may keep track, Greg, it's a new experience of forgiveness for me tonight. I'm covering you with the blood. It's wonderful inside of the relationship with God that I'm not hanging by a thread over the precipice of hell all the time. There is grace that binds me to the cross of Jesus Christ. And God, He covers me with His blood and He protects me. And as life ebbs and flows and things come and those hooks, those impressions, the things the enemy brings back, God reminds me, you're my child. Now He gives me judgment with conviction. And I'm sitting in a church, somebody preaches and something comes up. Oh Lord, thank you for showing that to me. Or, oh, I can't believe I, here I am again. Most of the time it's not some sin I've committed in that sense, but most of the time it's, well, you know what, you've really fallen down in your reading or your study or your prayer time. You've really fallen down spending quality time with me. You've let so many things bombard you with the stuff of this world that you've just gotten in the motions and you're no longer, you know what I mean? Stuff. Say, oh Lord, here I am. I'm so sorry for neglecting the wonderful, I'm sorry for allowing that wonderful edge of my first love, that passion to go down. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, for talking to me. Come to Him. And you know, you could let the devil beat you up over and over again about anything like that. And that's what he desires to do. Don't exchange the truth of God for a lie tonight. Because if you're a child of God, your family, His blood covers. Just say yes to Him. Just follow Him and leave it in His hands. It's grace. That's mercy. That's being set free from the law. Does it change my responsibility? But I'd rather be in a relationship any day than be under a law. Especially with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who loved me so much that He came here to die for me on the cross of Jesus Christ. He died for Greg McDonald. I'm sorry if that disappoints you that I put my name in there. But I happen to believe that He died for me. I happen to believe that I was on His mind. So were you. I'll let you in. If I have to. You laugh at that? How many times have we thought, well, they're not in. Or they're not in. They don't act quite like I act or think quite like I think. They must not be in. Smugly, we look down our nose. Well, they don't dress like I dress or think like I think. Thank God they don't think like I think. That's a weird place. Oh, there's a bizarre world in here. I have a really good filter. You should hear what comes out when the filter's gone. Man, it's strange. Really strange. Some of you are agreeing with me because it's weird in your head too. Tell me about some of your dreams. I've had a dream, great big pink bunnies. Large ones, big ones, running around in green fields. I just planted a seed. Some of y'all are going to have a dream about big pink bunnies tonight. And when you wake up, I want you to smile and I want you to tell me tomorrow night, I had a dream about that. I don't know why that happened. Who knows about the random things that happen in this world? But I can clearly identify the fact that when Jesus was on the cross, He died for Greg McDonald and He died for you and He loves you and He is desperate for relationship with us and He wants us to be all that He has for us. And He won't let me go. He won't let me go. I have the power to let Him go. He won't let me go. He keeps after me. I'm so thankful for that. The power of Christ. I'm thankful that we don't have to be slaves to our history. We can be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. So if in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to His promise. Aren't you glad the distinction is broken down? No poor, no rich, no pretty or ugly. You know? There are things in this world that are ugly. There are people in this world that are ugly. I've been told that before. You know, there's sights in this world. I was talking to somebody back there. I have a rule of life. It's my rule of life I'm going to share with you tonight. It supersedes most all things. It's not spiritual, but it supersedes all things. Say no to spandex. Because it's ugly. Right? It's just, I told you it's weird in there, but it's the truth. Think of it and do it. Spanx are good, spandex are not. Say, how does he know about that? I have two daughters and a wife. The reality is, there's ugly things in this world. There's pretty. God makes no distinction. Were you the last one on the playground picked for the games? Were you the last one ever picked to do anything in your class? Did you ever not ever win an election in your class? It's okay, because Jesus died for you, because you are uniquely created to be the child of God that He wants you to be. I am a divine original that He desires relationship with, and so are you. Thank God we don't look like each other. Don't you say amen. But we don't. Look around the room. We're all different, aren't we? Divine originals. To serve Him, He desires relationships with us. And He loves us just like we are. I love that. Chapter 4, he says, what am I saying? That it is as long as an heir is underage, he's no different from a slave, although he owns a whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of this world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption to sonship. The reality is, the law pulls us back to bondage. The devil, that lie that he does, is to say that if you do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, then you're okay. And some of you are task-oriented, and that helps you. Because you get up in the morning and you make a list. How many? You're a list person. How many of you do that? Put your hands up. I want to see them. You're a list person. And it is a really good day when you, at night, get ready to lay down on your pillow and all the lists got done. Amen? I hate list people. Well, I love one. My wife is a list person. She's as much a list person as I am not a list person. Lists drive me nuts. I don't like lists. She leaves me a list. The only reason why I like it when she leaves me a list is that when I mark those dudes off, I know I will get a smile out of her and I will please her. And I stand there like a little kid. I got it all done. You see that? And invariably she'll say, but what about this or what about that? Just because I don't put it on the list doesn't mean it didn't need to be done. And she's not here, and you don't know her, so it's okay. I'll just talk like that. I was afraid she was sneaking up behind me. Some of you, somebody look back here. The reality is, you're a list person. You're task-oriented. So if you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, it's been a good day. Others of us are more free-minded. We get a whim and we act on it. Or we put it off until tomorrow, and then we put it off until the next day. How many can identify with me on that one? Oh, there. You got a lot of procrastinators around here, brother. You do. That means a lot of you list people need to step up to the plate. You know, the reality is, uniquely created list task-oriented people, or the ones who are not task-oriented, who are more free-thinking and who are more spontaneous and moved by the moment, there's a reality that there's a discipline that brings us both together. And that is the fact that I cannot task-orient myself ever enough to please God for salvation. There are things that I should definitely do. There are disciplines that I need to participate in. But that is not what brings my salvation to me. And if I equate that with salvation, then just as sure as the world that I don't operate my list like I think I should, the devil will jump on me and say, you're not what God wants you to be. What kind of Christian are you? And us free thinkers lay our heads in our pillow at night and think about all the stuff we should have got done that day. And the devil jumps on and says, see there, you're just worthless. And if you believe the lie long enough, you'll get so used to it that that will become your relationship with God. Never quite being good enough. I'm here to set you free tonight. There's not a one of you good enough. Aren't you glad to know that? Matt, Mitch, Luther, For those of you who weren't here last night, I called him by the wrong name. Got it right tonight. Mitch Case sounds like a detective, doesn't it? Mitch Case. Aren't you glad to know that you're not good enough? But you don't have to be. That doesn't give you an excuse. Talks about it in here. We want to be the best we can be for Christ. We want to be the disciple He wants us to be. But I don't earn His love or favor. The nature of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. He loves me. Therefore, He saves me. And I'm in relationship with Him. That relationship takes on new meaning to me. Because my wife sometimes just shakes her head. 29 years. Still fighting the same things. Honey, I'll take out the trash. I'm going to do it on my time. Thank you. Thank you. Kindred spirits. Shakes her head. You know, she loves me. I mean, she loves me. I love her. I don't look anything like I did when I married her. It doesn't matter. She loves me. And I love her. She looks better than she did when I married her. It's good for me. It's also convicting. I need to do a little better there. But it's not about the looks, not about the activities. It's about the covenant. And God reinforces it over and over again. Between us, we love each other. And it just grows deeper and deeper as the years flow on. I can't be perfect enough for her, but she loves me. God loves me. I'm His child. I love the last part of what I just read. I want to read it again. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship or daughtership, whichever ship you want. Because you are His sons or daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Daddy, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God also made you an heir. Oh, now I've read that passage of Scripture over and over and over again. And I had thanked God for it and I had praised the Lord for it until I went to a courtroom in Indianapolis, Indiana. And my wife and I, surrounded by several of our friends and family, stood in front of a judge. And I went up on the stand and I told the answered the lawyer's questions concerning the adoption of Carter Charles McDonald and all of the things that we had done in this process. My wife went up on the stand and she answered the questions that the lawyer gave and stepped away from the stand, and then we waited. And the judge shuffled some papers. The lawyer said, Judge, I now move the finalization of this adoption of Carter Charles McDonald to Brenda Charlene McDonald and Gregory Allen McDonald on this day. And the judge, after perusing the documents, took the gavel, picked it up, and slammed the gavel down and said, it is done today. It had been a very formal moment. And then the judge, he was probably a 340-pound black man on that. He looked even bigger in his robe. I mean, he was a monster. He looked like he could play for the Colts any minute. And he was serious, and he looked tough. I wouldn't want to stood before him in traffic court for nothing. But all of a sudden, after that gavel dropped, this great big old smile came on his face, and he says, now it's picture time. bring that baby to me. And we brought him up there and had chunky, thick thighs and thick calves. And he had on little shorts and he was a little bitty baby. And the lawyer looked at the judge and said, boy, he's going to be a football player, isn't he, judge? He said, yeah, he sure is. And I'm like, oh, you know, handed him to that judge sitting up there. We get behind him and we're all standing there and we're smiling, taking pictures. And he hands him to us and he says, what a blessing today. This is your son. Now, it didn't all dawn in on me until a few weeks later when I went to my mailbox and I got this official-looking piece of paper, little envelope, and I opened it up, and inside that envelope was a birth certificate. Now, I'm going to tell you that I was there on March the 5th at the Union Hospital in Terre Haute, Indiana, when the birth mother to my child gave birth to my son. I was there when that happened, in that physical sense. But when I picked that paper out of that envelope that day, it said, March the 5th, 2011, born to Gregory A. McDonald and to Brenda C. McDonald, the son Carter Charles McDonald. And all of a sudden, this spiritual relationship with God began to swirl in my mind. Not only does adoption make that child hours from the day we had the gavel dropped, but it rewrites my birth history. And I am a true son of God. It corrected the history of my son. It says that my wife gave birth to him and that I was there assisting her. It changed the whole record. And I'm here to tell you today that when you come to Jesus Christ and confess your sins to Him, your history is completely rewritten. You become not a child that has walked away and wandered the path of sin, but that day you become a child of the King of Kings, the Lord of... Actually, you become a child of the Father who created this world in all of its glory and all of its beauty. You become a brother to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who died on a cross for you. And that makes us joint heirs in the kingdom of God. And to believe anything else is to belittle the work that Jesus did on the cross for us. I will not exchange the truth that God has burned in on my mind as a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation, and make myself anything less than that in my own mind, in my own heart. I will not exchange that for the lies that the enemy would tell me that I'm not good enough. I have too much of a history that God could ever be pleased with me, or that somehow I have to work and work and work only to find myself still lacking. And the defeat that I watch the church wallow in over and over again. Exchanging the truth of God for a lie. I'm talking about you believers tonight. It's time for you to get your heads up. To get your hearts out of the pit that the enemy would put you in. It's time to take up your birthright as children of God and to begin to proclaim what God has called you to do, to be His heir in this world and an heir apparent to the next world to come. I am going to receive an inheritance someday. I'm going to get my son that passed away back. I'm going to be there with my family that went before me. I own that inheritance through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has marked me. I am His child. And if you know Him as the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your heart, then you are too. And it's time for us to step out of the defeat that the enemy pours into our minds. And this world of confusion and doubt and self-beating, and step up to the plate and understand that God has a valuable purpose because you are a divine original, uniquely created to serve Him, and He loves you. I don't know what you're thinking tonight. I read crowds. Does that mean something to you? Does that put a skip in your step? We say, I'm too old to have a skip in my step. Hurts too much. No, it doesn't. How about a internal woohoo? How about a thank you, Lord? How about a shaking your fist at the devil tonight and saying, I'm not going to believe you anymore. I'm going to step up and I'm going to embrace my birthright. And I'm going to act like a child of God. Lay down the lies tonight. You're His child. Lay them down. Sometimes we need to draw a line in the sand. Come to an altar and say, you know what? I'm not a slave to my history anymore, and I'm not a slave to my past, and I'm not going to believe the lies you tell me anymore. God's given me power. He's given me freedom. He's given me sonship or daughtership, relationship with Him. I'm His child, and I am no longer going to believe the lies He whispers into my ears over and over again. And I'm going to let the devil know tonight that I do not follow Him or serve Him. Time to step up, children of God. The world's lost, dying, going to hell. And they need you to exercise your birthright as the children of God. Amen? Amen. Have you been doing that? Time to step up. Revival. It's revival. Whatever lies the enemy's told you, I want you to let go of it tonight. Give it to God. Stand with me. Father in heaven, tonight your church has a responsibility to obey the call that you have on their hearts. Whether we've been a pastor for 30 years or whether we've been a layman for a couple days, there is no less of a responsibility for pastors, for Sunday school teachers, for missionary presidents or missionary workers. We all have a responsibility to be taking up our birthright and being the witnesses, examples, and taking up that challenge to let a world know that Jesus Christ can set them free. That there is sonship. That there's adoption. That their history no longer has to define them. But Jesus' blood can write a brand new history in their life. God, teach us tonight how to obey you again. Let our pride fall. And let us as a church step up and be the church, humbly and fully surrendered to you in every way tonight. Some people in here tonight need to lay some lies down. You need to break out of the habits of thinking like the enemy thinks. And you need to let Jesus Christ reestablish inside of your heart the wonderful relationship that you have as a child of God. Break the power. Break the power of the enemy tonight. Negative thinking. Faithless thinking. Critical spirit. Let God break the power of that tonight. It's not your responsibility to change anybody else in this church. It's your responsibility to be Jesus to them. Step out. Say yes. We need to have revival tonight around our altar. Some of you have already stepped out. You've already come. The Lord might have showed you something else tonight. He did me. And I'm going to be here at the altar praying tonight. Nothing wrong with kneeling and praying at an altar. I wonder tonight if you'd join me around an altar in prayer. Reestablish the birthright that Christ has in our hearts and our lives. take up our roles as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Come. Come.